Okay, we're in this series now. Do you really believe that? Tonight's topic is, if I don't know it, I'm not responsible for it. You ever heard anybody say that? Typically teenagers say that, but I think it becomes a lifestyle issue for many people. If I don't know it, I'm not responsible for it. I want to talk to you tonight about a very unique individual in the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, first nine chapters, has, I think it's five or six different characters in it. And one of those we'll discuss tonight. Obviously, you have wisdom. You also have the stranger or the strange woman. And then you have the young man that we're going to talk about tonight. And you have the fool, and you have the scorner, and then you have the my son. All of those personalities are in those first nine chapters, and they're discussed in various ways. And tonight we're going to talk about the simple person, or the naive person, or I think as we've described him in your text, as the person who is uninformed. The word does mean that in the Hebrew. So first and foremost, as we go through this series, and we have a whole bunch of different topics that we'll be covering, one of the things you want to think about as we go through this is that all of us have what we call a world. This is like one of those buzzwords. And you really will sound incredibly intellectual if you use this word. You talk about your world view. This is so, I mean, you're just in a whole nother level of intellect when you start talking like this. But the point is that the world view is the way that you look at things, and how you summarize the world around you. And so there's certain questions, we're gonna go through these real quickly, not gonna talk about it tonight, but hopefully as we go through this series, these are some of the things that we'll be touching upon. The first one is what's really real to you? Like those things that you consider to be substantial in your life, the things that you believe to be important in your life. The second one is, what is the nature of the external reality? In other words, the world around us. How do we think about the world around us? Do we even conceptualize the rest of the world? Or is it just our little community? People approach life in very different ways. For many people, truthfully, their reality goes no further than just the social circle that they're involved with. They think no further than that oftentimes. Thirdly, is the issue of, you know, what is a human being? In other words, well, are we animals? Are we just organisms? Is there something unique about us? Are we no different than any other animal on the planet? That type of thing. Are human beings special? We have to ask ourselves these things. The next one is what happens to a person at death? Obviously, this is something that we push back, but how many people here have heard about the coronavirus? By the way, I believe the church has tremendous power over these things. In fact, I think it's quite interesting that so much fear is being promulgated today. And I think if you think about first century Christianity, if you think about the urban context of first century Christianity, the cities that these people were living in make Bombay look like heaven. It was just pure filth. They had no running water. Their sewage was dumped out the window. There was no electricity. There was no light. People just huddled into rooms. You can imagine what that was like. That's what they lived in. Christians were known for their compassion in some pretty austere environments. Children left out for the animals to consume if they weren't wanted. Christians were literally known for having compassion in these very austere conditions. And so when the Word of God says that in Psalm 56 in verse 4 and then again in verse 11, there's other places where this is stated, but the psalmist says, look, I'm just not going to fear what mere man can do to me. And I love what it says in Psalm 91. It goes from verse 5 and all the way through 11, where literally, you know, 1,000 on this side, 10,000 on that side, it's not going to come nigh to you. God actually sends his angels, it says, to protect us. Christians are known for their compassion in these kind of situations and the fact that they don't fear them. I love the fact, and I think what you brought up, Skip, was a very important point. When Jesus met the leper in Matthew chapter 8, what did he do? He reached out and touched him. That was like unheard of. You didn't do that. In fact, they were, you know, supposed to stay literally, you know, like 100 yards away from you. But Jesus reached out and touched him. He had no fear. And by the way, he was living in a human body like we are. He had no fear of that. It's not that we shouldn't use wisdom, as we've said. It's not that we shouldn't use discretion. But you can see that the whole presentation of this is to keep people from gathering together, which, by the way, is the power of the church. It's the place where we come together and we celebrate life together and our fellowship in Christ. So it's a really important thing. Okay? The next one is these things just kind of fall right into why is it possible to know anything at all? Meaning that what is true knowledge? How do we experience knowledge? Is it something merely that comes through our senses, or is it something that we can actually rely on? Are there fundamental values and truths that we can rely upon? This is very similar. How do we know what is right and wrong? This, by the way, is under tremendous pressure today in our culture. Right and wrong has been challenged on many levels. How do we know what is truly right? Is it merely just a cultural thing? Is it just what seems right? Is it what works for you? These are some of the questions that I think we're going to try and answer as we go through this. Not these questions per se, but they will be answered. And this one's a really important one. What's the meaning of human history? I mean, do we even take any sight, or do we have respect for human history? Or is everything that was done prior to our time merely prehistoric people that had, you know, they were not modern like us? They weren't, how can I say it, woke or whatever is the new word for these things. Truth is, these are things that we have to come to answer for ourselves, because it is important for us. There are people that believe that basically all of history is skewed and shouldn't be reflected upon, that we should just, our values should be created in the circumstance that we're in today. Now, that's a very interesting premise. We'll look at that. So tonight, this is very simple, but I want to talk about and answer this question, and I want you to think about what the Word of God says here about the issue as we just read through these verses and look at these things. We're talking about this person who is considered to be a person who is uninformed. In the Hebrew, the word means uninformed and therefore easily seduced. And we'll look at various verses. If you look at your handout, your first verse is in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4. And notice what it says. It says that the whole premise, the theme of Proverbs, in the fourth verse, verse 1 through 7 is applied to the theme. But in the fourth verse, it says that one of the points is to give cleverness or ingenuity. You're going to find this term used many times. It speaks of a sense of creativity, ingenuity, being clever, the ability to figure things out. Notice that to the uninformed or easily seduced person. And notice that it's attached to youth. To the youth, it says, knowledge and discretion. We're going to go back and read Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 7, or in that portion a little bit later. But I want you to think about this, because it says in that portion, I saw among the youth, or the uninformed, a naive person, and discerned among the sons, a youth in want of heart. Now, let me just say this, because I think it's very important, that one of the things about if I don't know it, I'm not responsible for it, that's exactly the excuse that we used as young people when we wanted to get away with something, is it not? Let's be honest, right? We all did that, right? if I don't know about it, then I'm not responsible for it. I can do what I want because I didn't know about it. So we plead ignorance and we do a lot of things. And we think that that's, you know, that is a skill set that we learned as young people. Also, the other aspect of this is that God wants to educate us in our youth. In other words, he wants us to come to know his word as young people. This is why it's incredibly important that a person that has heard the word of God in their early days, that they take reference to that. It's important. It has much to say to them. You'll notice that many of the things that are going to become incredible monsters in your life later on started when? When you were young. It just began there. Started at an early age. For most of us, we were living in that kind of easily seduced stage, and we didn't want to know anything because if we knew it, we had to be responsible for it, so we just did what we felt was best for us. And those little things that seemingly were insignificant at that point became incredibly powerful later on in our life, right? Incredibly powerful. So this is why hearing the Word of God, being in fellowship with other believers in the Word of God is incredibly important. And you can say, well, I'm older now. What does that do for me? You're young in the Lord if you've just come to know Christ. You're young in the Lord if you've just dedicated your life to him. You say, well, I knew him back here, but I kind of strayed. Then you're new in your relationship right now. And the premise is, give your heart to the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Word of God says, look, you know, this is what wisdom asks us to do. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Out of it comes the issues of life. Give me your heart. It's important for us to do this. So notice that this person, this young person, is actually, you know, it's translated differently in other texts, but the words, if it's just basic words here, means he's lacking a heart. I mean, he hasn't really defined who he is and what his passions are as a person yet. And this is where the Word of God can have great impact on our lives. It can help us define who we are and what we want to be as people, how we should think about ourselves and how we should think about others. Second point here is that it is a matter of choice. And I want you to look at the verses, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 5. Two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, you have wisdom crying out and asking the people to come. And you'll notice in verse 5, one of the aspects of it here is that you uninformed ones, notice this, understand, again, cleverness, or this ability, if you will, ingenuity, the ability to think through a process, to deal with the details of life, to be creative in the midst of adverse situations. He says, and notice this, and you fools understand wisdom. So it's a matter of choice as to whether we'll listen and whether we'll come. And by the way, isn't this something that we all basically know? That we, look, person gets saved, then they have some other thing come up in their life, and they decide, well, I don't need to be in church, or I don't need eventually to study the word or hear the word or be in fellowship with others around the word. Basically, what are you saying? You're making a choice. And you're saying, I don't really want to act in a way that would be reflecting, that would reflect my relationship with the God that I know and love, and the one that saved me. I want to act in another way. So I'm not going to listen. That's a choice we make. And we'll look at verses in the New Testament here in a little while, but that's a choice that we all make. And by the way, this is for believers. In the Proverbs, I understand this is, you know, Solomon crying out to his son, listen to these things. But notice again in chapter 9 and verse 4, whoever is uninformed, let him turn and hear, wisdom cries. She's got her feast. She's built her house on seven pillars. There's wisdom there. It's secure. There's plenty of nourishment. It's provided. Come on in, she says. It's a choice as to whether we will or not. And then in verse 16, whoever is uninformed, let him turn in here. And notice this, and to him who is, in want of a heart. You want to know who you really are? Look, you can let the world, you can find out who you are in the world. Let's put it that way. And that won't be, typically, too great an image. Because the world will do everything it can to stain us as people. And we've all kind of tasted that, right? Or you can let the Word of God and the Spirit of God teach you who you were really created to be. And it's a matter of who you give your heart to. It really is. It comes down to that, who we decide to give our heart to. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 7. And I just want to show you this real quickly. We're just going to read the verses, not going to spend a lot of time. We're kind of flying through these verses tonight, but I just want you to see what I'm talking about. Now, either you will decide, you and I will decide, who we're going to be, and that will be related to what the Word of God says about us, or the world will make its decision for us. And please don't think that just by simply ignoring things that you're playing a neutral game and it will never happen to you, because that's certainly not the case. And by the way, most of us have lived enough life to know that that's not true. But notice what it says. This is that portion that we were talking about. This is, again, he's writing verse 6, for at the window of my house I looked, and through my lattice I saw a young naive person, actually this uninformed person, a young man lacking a heart, didn't know who he was, passing through the streets near her corner. Again, this is one of those personalities. You have wisdom, and then you have this strange woman that's always alluring people. This strange woman that's actually kind of alluring people in Proverbs. This is the world that's alluring people. And notice he takes the way to her house, and in twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, and behold, a woman comes to meet him dressed as a harlot, cunning of heart. She's boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She's now in the streets, now in the squares, lurks in every corner. She seized him, kissed him, and with a brazen face she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I've paid my vows. Therefore, I've come out to meet you and seek your presence earnestly. I've found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, your colors. You can sense the whole allure in this thing in the world. Look, either we are drawn to the love and the realities that God has revealed to us through Jesus Christ, or we're drawn to the world. There's really only two love affairs in our life. You can say, well, I'm married, I have children, I love all, and that's true. But you can love them in the Lord, or you can love them in the world. And if you love them in the world, it's God created family. I'm not denying that, but it'll be different than loving people in the Lord. It will be. And you'll notice it says in verse 21, persuasions, she entices him. She, with flattering lips, she seduces. Suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces his liver, and as a bird hastens to the snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. In verse 27, her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Look, there's only two relationships. And it was a choice that was made. A person that was simplistic, uninformed in their heart. And we all have been there, or we know people that are there. So we know it's a matter of choice. The other thing here, and I want you to see it, and it's interesting how this personality is drawn out in the book of Proverbs. Because this personality in verse 15 of chapter 14, it says, the uninformed person believes every word. And the word, by the way, for belief here is the same word we get amen from. It's the same word It's the same thing, word used for when Abraham in Genesis 15:6 believed God. He believes every word. And notice this. But the clever person, again, that person who is, if you will, clever or has ingenuity, that person understands his steps. In other words, thinks about where he's going. Now, a person who is uninformed is a person that's going to accept just about what anybody says, especially if it's to some value or they think there's some value in it for themselves. But a person who comes to know the Word of God and understands the person of Jesus Christ, has the Spirit of God in their heart, they're actually thoughtful about life, and they're thoughtful in relationship to the voice that's within them, the God that lives in their heart in Colossians 3:18, and guides them by virtue of peace as to whether they should or shouldn't do things. They think about their steps, how it's going to affect other people, what's going to happen as a result of this decision. They think about these things. So if we think about this person, this uninformed person, he's a person that is gullible. And notice this here. He lacks moral perception. You'll notice our verses here that we just went over here in Proverbs 7 too. But notice this in verse 3 of chapter 22. You can see the same thing in chapter 27 and verse 12. It says a clever person. You'll notice that these two words seem to complement each other. You find one, you'll often see the other, because either you're uninformed or you're clever. A person who's in right relationship with Christ and growing in the Word is going to have discernment as to how they should act in life. And the Holy Spirit's going to guide them. A person who is ignorant towards the things of God or chooses willfully to be ignorant of these things is going to be an unintelligent or uninformed person that's going to make a lot of bad decisions in their life in terms of their testimony. And notice what it says. This clever person sees evil and hides himself. But the uninformed go on, and notice this, and they have to pay the penalty for it. Now, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time. I think in your handout you have Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22 and on. Let me just read it for you. This is wisdom again, saying, how long, O uninformed ones, will you love being ignorant? And you love being uninformed. Scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my Spirit on you, and I'll make my words known to you. If you just turn. Remember, it's our choice. We turn. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. Because you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. Then notice this, I'll laugh at your calamity. Now, I don't know about you. I've been there. Have you been there? When you know that God convicted you for a great period of your life and then you got into trouble and you wondered why God couldn't be found at that moment, he's kind of gotten to a spot where he's laughing at your calamity. In other words, you didn't listen. And it gets to this. I mean, could the young man in Luke chapter 15 that went into a far country and spent his father's wealth, and couldn't he have, you know, gotten it? Did it have to get so bad? Well, there was a point there where perhaps God just said, you know, I'm gonna give you a little bit of your own decision here. You're just going to reap what you sow, and I'll laugh at your calamity. So maybe you'll just eat with the pigs for a little while. Now, that's a horrible thing to think. But if that's what brought him back into a right relationship with his Father and a right relationship with his God, you'll notice here it goes on to say, when your dread becomes like a storm, your calamity like a whirlwind, when your distress and anguish come upon you, when you'll call upon me, but I'll not answer, and you'll seek me diligently, you'll not find me, because you hated knowledge, and notice this, you didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. And they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. So in other words, they're just getting what they've done. But notice this verse in verse 32. For the turning away, and the word actually does mean turning. So they turned away of the uninformed. It will kill them. Now, all the things in our life that have been destructive in our life are those areas where we were willfully ignorant of God's will for our life. You can't say that one bad thing in your life, my life, I can't say that one bad thing that I ever did, I did because I chose, how can I say this? I can't say that I did it and shouldn't have known better, because I should have. I chose to be ignorant, and I reaped what I sowed. And that's what happens to all of us. And when a person comes to Christ, the worst thing that we can do is perpetuate that mindset. That's the worst thing we can do. This is why it's so important for us as men and women of God just to dedicate ourselves to His Word. I just want to, in Psalm 119 and verse 30, the Word of God says, the unfolding, the entrance of your Word gives light. And notice this, it gives understanding to the uninformed. God wants us to know, wants us to know, wants us to have a right relationship, wants us to live successfully in life. And I'm not talking about everything working out. I'm talking about you have power over this world. You rule in James 1:12. You get a crown of life. You rule over life. It doesn't rule you. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, and we're going to close out here with Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to move through this quickly. It's just a few verses. I just wanted to go at this from a New Testament viewpoint. I think it's very important. Remember that in the book of Ephesians, Paul's speaking to a church that he spent over 3 years with. This was probably the most educated church that Paul had ever known. I mean, he was very close to these people. He spent a great deal of time there, saw a tremendous amount of fruit. And so these were people that were well-educated. Just read the epistle to the Ephesians and you just are overwhelmed with the depth of just that little letter. But in chapter 4 and verse 17, very interesting thing, he's talking to the church now, which I think is quite interesting. And he says, look, I'm asking, brother, that you no longer walk as the nations walk. I don't want you to walk like the rest of the world does. And notice this, in the emptiness of their mind. If you could kind of replace that with just being uninformed, as if you don't know. If I don't know, I'm not responsible for it. As if you don't know, because you should know. And notice what it goes on to say. And there are three participles here, by the way, that modify this, that are in the perfect tense. And I only say that because it has something to say to this decision to walk in a certain way. The first one is that they've been darkened with reference to their moral reasoning. I mean, if I choose to go the way of the world, one of the first things that's going to go is the way that I morally look at life. In other words, I'm going to start bending the rules, because the rest of the world bends the rules, right? There is a way that's right with God, but then there's another way that the world walks, and most of the people do it, and it seems to be all right, and I'm going to start bending those rules for myself. If they do it, I'll do it. Just little things. Things that aren't necessarily that bad, but it's just out of context with the character of the God that I've come to know, the one that saved me. Amen? Secondly, that you've been alienated. The next thing will be you'll be alienated from the life of God. And notice how he describes that, because of the ignorance which is in them. The willful, for us as believers, willful ignorance, meaning that we choose not to know. The one thing that's incredibly exciting about being a Christian and having the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what your education level is, it doesn't matter how well you read, none of this stuff matters. Because you have God Himself educating you. And He wants you to know His Word. And He wants to reveal Himself through it to you and me. And that's one of the beauties of the Word of God, is that the Holy Spirit actually is involved. It's a very simple book with His presence. And He helps us to know these things. There may be things that I'll never be able to pick up, but that's not, it will never challenge His character. We'll know that. We will know Him. We'll know the truth. The truth will set us free. We won't be the servant to sin anymore. Notice the next thing. Because of the hardness, literally, this word means stubbornness or willfulness of their heart. Whereas they just didn't want to hear it. Now, He's talking to the church. Now, I don't know about you. I've been doing this for about 40 years now. And I've met quite a few people that started out good with Christ and then all of a sudden took a little turn. Just a little turn. Just little things. Little foxes. Just little things. And they let the world decide whether this was going to be all right or not. Not the Word of God, not their relationship to Christ, not what was right in terms of their testimony in the presence of other beliefs. They just let the world decide whether this would be okay or not. And you know what? It never stops there. That's just one decision that leads to another decision that leads to another. And before you know it, they're so far away from what they once were that it's not even apparent anymore. Notice it says here they're literally, they're alienated because of the hardness or literally the stubbornness or unwillingness to learn of their heart. And then the third one here is they've become callous, meaning they've lost the capacity to feel shame. Now, have you been around a person like this? I know believers that love the Lord, they love the lost, they were soul winners. There's a few of us here that can identify with this. That cared for people, that ministered to people, that thought about missions, that went out in the world to share the gospel, that today, if you ask them about their relationship to Christ, they would laugh at you as if it didn't even count. Because eventually, if I don't know, it doesn't count. Eventually, we begin to reproduce the life of the world around us. We're going to be filled with something. It'll either be Christ and His Spirit through His Word, or it'll be the world and its Spirit and all that it has to say to us. They've lost the capacity to feel shame, and they gave themselves over to unrestrained immorality for the practice of all kinds of sexual impurity. And notice this with greediness. And what that means is it's not for money. It's just they want to get whatever they can get. They just want to get it. Because life just becomes about getting it. Whatever that is. And Christianity is about losing yourself. The world is about finding yourself. Christianity is about losing myself and finding myself in Christ. Who I really am. The world is about, I got to find myself by getting all these things and experiences, right? Look, can it happen to you and me? It can. The moment we say in our heart, I'm done with this, I'm going to stop even thinking about it, and what I don't know, I'm not going to be responsible for. I'm going to stop, I'm going to just quit. The moment you say that, there's a big world out there just waiting. But if we give our heart and life to Christ, let me tell you this, it may not be, and I'm not telling you won't have problems, but I'll tell you how fun those problems will be for you, because you'll be going through those problems with literally the ingenuity that the Spirit of God gives you to address life. And for the first time, you're not being passively swept along by life. You're ruling over life. You're winning. And you know you're winning. Just like this whole corona thing. Look, however God chooses to take us home, that's one thing. Are we as believers going to live in fear of something? Or are we going to pursue Christ with all of our heart and continue doing what we know to be right with him, realizing that he has greater power over this world than anything this world will ever tell us? It will not decide truth for us. Our relationship to Christ will be the deciding factor for what is true for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just the fact that you take a bunch of idiots like us and you make something of us. And that's the point, that, you know, we're just a bunch of misfits. And the world knows we're misfits. They know. And they understand that they're just a bunch of, you know, people that shouldn't be, but now are. Not because of anything but you. And that we were once just totally swept along by life. All of our values were corrupted. That we were just living for what we could get out of it, whatever that may be. A relationship, a possession, a feeling, whatever. We were just greedy people. But now, Lord, we have a life that's satisfying and fulfilling. That we live in your spirit in us. And the more that we lose ourselves, the more we find true life in you. And we're just thankful for that. And we just ask you to continue, Lord, to teach us to be a people that grow in our relationship to you and further it and see value in it and not let this world decide what we're to fear or what we're to think or how we're to act. To let that come from another kingdom. And we just ask you to do it. We pray that you will. Pray, Lord, that you'll just open our hearts to your word. It's not an intellectual issue. It's a choice. It's a heart issue. It's what we choose for our heart. And we just ask you to do it, and we pray that you will. And we ask you to bless the offering tonight too, Lord. And we thank you for those two men back there that do a tremendous amount of hard work in that sound booth and never get much applause for what they do, but we thank you for their hearts and lives. We ask you to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, you can give those guys a hand.